Cleaning Nation, welcome to another super amazing episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, I want to start the show by thanking you amazing human beings for supporting the show, sharing the show. We do zero advertising or anything. All the growth that we've had and our ability to give more value, more content to you is because you share the show, you subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. And you are just the coolest human beings ever. And I'm always getting all sorts of amazing feedback from you personally and publicly on Facebook and stuff. You all are amazing. If you're listening to the podcast, make sure you check out the YouTube channel. If you're watching us on YouTube, take us on the road by subscribing to the podcast. But no matter where you're listening from, everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at our website, growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out. There's all the good stuff there. Today, we have a very special guest, Michael Brown from Swept. Swept has helped cleaning company, or Swept has helped, they do help actually right now in real time, help cleaning companies increase and retain cleaners by some amazing software. If you want to reach out to Michael and his team, you can hold them at www.sweptworks.com, sweptworks.com. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you. So I wanted to give everyone, as opposed to the kind of the generic introduction, a little bit of background about how we got together and why you're on the show, and then we'll just run right into it, man. I think you guys reached out at some point, and those of you who are recording July of 2017 currently, and I think, gosh, you guys reached out to me months and months ago, and the first time we met in person, actually, Mike and I have never met, but he's got a partner, Matt, who I did the Reframe conference with. So some of you guys were there. So good to meet you. It was such a blast. It was only in Texas, so obviously we could meet a very small amount of the listeners. But these guys put on an entire day of content for free, and I yelled at them, like, you guys should charge like at least $300-$400 or something, but they don't, nobody listens to me. I'm just some dumb coach. Amazing day of content. They invited me out, and I was able to share, and it was just fantastic. And I was just impressed with, hey, these guys are a software company. They're not a training company. They're not a, this isn't what they do, but they're so committed to seeing owners of cleaning companies grow sales, retain customers, that they just went nuts. So for all of you that missed it, you missed out. What can I tell you? I wish there was something else. Maybe they'll do something in the future and I'll keep you abreast. But that's how I met these guys, and the value that they gave at that on that seminar was so high, I wanted to do my best to share it with some of you guys. So we're going to try and cram a day's worth of amazing content that we did into however long this podcast goes. So that said, tell us a little bit about you and how you guys got into the business, if you don't mind, Michael.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got into the business of cleaning a number of years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago. My business partner, Matt, as you mentioned, you had met. We connected and we thought, you know what, let's use technology, because that's his background. Mine is non-technical. Let's use technology, put it into the cleaning industry, and, you know, kind of take over the world. That's kind of how most entrepreneurs start out. And we owned a cleaning company. We had our cleaners. We were, you know, going out and, you know, I was cleaning when cleaners didn't show up. And, you know, I was doing the sales. I was doing every kind of aspect of the business there is, which I'm sure most of the listeners can relate to. And our whole idea was, let's build software to help us grow our company. And by the time we made it to our third city, our competitors were definitely taking notice and saying they want to use our software. We were like, no, you can't do it. You know, this is ours and all the rest. But, you know, after a while, we kind of got tired of hearing, you know, this from people. We thought maybe we could be selling our software. That's where all this started. And for the Reframe, as you mentioned, we basically took our playbook of what we did as a cleaning company. And we thought, we're not using this anymore. We don't own a cleaning company. We support cleaning companies. How about we just put a day, like a session on it? Like you say, it was really well received, to the point where we're now looking at, you know, we can't get to every city in the US. And there's people in different countries that want us to go, you know, set up. So we're looking at doing an online version, maintaining that interactive side where we do live sessions and things. But it's all about, how are you helping, you know, grow, and how are you helping retain your cleaners, which is why you are a perfect fit to have as a speaker with us.
Yeah, that's all I ever yak about, is how to find and attract and keep the best talent, the best customers. So, and fear not, Clean Nation, if they do, if and when they do get the online version, I will make sure I keep you guys and gals abreast. All right, so that said, tell me about the software. So what does it, like, I mean, first of all, I love that, and there's nothing wrong with people that don't have this background, but I'm always going to listen to, you know, a lot of people kind of give me a little credibility because I owned a cleaning company for years and was very successful. So when it's one thing to say, you should do this, that, and the other, than it is to say, when I did this, that, or the other, it worked out this way, and that really kicked me in the butt, or this really worked out well, or whatever the case may be. So I love that. How did you make that transition, and what all does the software do? Like, kind of walk us through the metamorphosis yeah. of, because I'm assuming when it started, it probably just did one or two things, and you found it added more stuff, and then maybe now that you're a full-time software company, you've added more. So walk us through kind of where it started and where it's at now.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, as the CEO of this company, I'm the CEO of a tech company now, and I am non-technical. So it's kind of, you know, the transformation from cleaning company, like that's where I used to own a construction company as well. So I'm in the field. I enjoy sales. I enjoy, you know, getting my hands dirty. I enjoy like doing that work. And then that transformation over, I won't say I was kicking and screaming. I was excited about it because of the response we're getting from the industry, but it was not necessarily comfortable in the beginning. Now my business partner is 20 years background, so he was, you know, all for it. But basically the way we built the software was, he's in an office. Imagine that, he's in an office getting complaints from me when a cleaner doesn't show up or something's going on, a client's upset. And, you know, I'm saying, man, I got to find out about this. Like, I wake up in the morning and I find out two cleaners didn't show up last night. That's not good. So he started building software around my needs. And basically what we, you know, came out on the other end of what Swept is today is software that allows you, the business owner, to identify issues that are going on when you're not on site so that you can take action. So instead of finding out from a client that something went wrong, you find out from a cleaner. And I think at the core of what we've built and what we really figured out when we were building this cleaning company was, our cleaners knew what was going on before we did. If they were running late, if they weren't going to show up, if something broke, like no matter what, they always knew. So our thought was, how do we take the information that they have and get it as quick as possible? And it's crazy, something so simple, but nobody else is doing that. You know, everyone's working up logbooks and it's crazy. So that's, I still think now, if I had started here, you know, 4 years ago, instead of starting with a cleaning company, but most people, it wouldn't have related to them, right? Like you say, we own the cleaning company, we've gone through it, and that's how it, that's how these things build.
So I get what I hear you saying is the cleaners kind of know what's going on before the owners, which makes sense. Like, obviously, how are you going to know the cleaner's not going to show up before the cleaner knows, right? That would be creepy.
Yeah.
So I get that piece of it. But how does that fulfill? Talk more, because again, a reframe, that you guys hardly said boo. Like, it took me, we did three of them. And I think halfway through the second one, I'm like, wait a sec, these guys have a software product. I mean, you guys were really just crabbing into value. So how does that translate into helping keep so cleaners, I kind of get, right? Because so far what you've told me is that's a huge benefit to the owner, right? I get, being able to have that transparency, knowing sooner than later something's going to go wrong, totally get the value to the owner, i.e. all our listeners. But what you said at the beginning was you help them keep talent and get customers. Let's talk about those pieces. How does this make better talent come and or stay? Because I think that's really what we want.
Yeah, so here's the thing when it comes to sales, like getting more clients and keeping them. This is actually when I said that our competitors used to reach out to us. The reason why is because they're losing so many quotes to us. So they would, you know, we'd be quoting a space similar to them, we'd win it, and they would find out, you know, we gave it to Clean Simple, was the name of our cleaning company. And they kept losing to Clean Simple, and they're saying, what is going on? And we were able to go in and tell, you know, imagine that you are going in to quote a new space to win that bid. We were able to show them not just that we had great cleaners and say, you know, we use green products and all these things. We're able to say, we're in contact with them. We have a different way of managing our cleaners. We, you know, and we'd show them the app. We would show the potential clients how we managed our team. And they were looking at saying, this is the proof that you're better than the rest. Like, nobody else can show me how they manage their cleaners. And so we were winning, I think we won 80% of our bids, and we were at a premium price. And that was, it all came down to, we were able to prove that our cleaning company was more effective, because everyone is just saying the same thing at these quotes, right? And where's the proof?
Yeah, winning 80% of your bids, not impressive. Winning 80% of your bids at a premium price. Now, I can go in and win all the bids if I just go cheap enough, but that's awesome. So I just want to take a quick time out for Cleaning Nation. I'm constantly jumping up and down about unique selling proposition. And Matt did Matt and I hung out. We lived together for 3 or 4 days. We were on this tour together. So I'm so sorry, Michael. So Matt and I spent a bunch of time. Michael and I have always spoken on the phone. So my apologies if every third time you are Matt to Clean Nation and my good, my kind and tolerant guest, Michael. So crap, now I've lost. I've got all fired up on the names. I forgot what I was talking about. So unique selling proposition, Michael. Just did a fantastic job of breaking down what that is. The two rules are it's got to be unique, right? A lot of people go, oh, I'm green. Well, everybody says they're green. We clean better than everybody else. Well, technically, of all the people that say they clean the best, all of you are lying but one. And guess what? Your customers don't even care, right? That's not even something that they don't want the best cleaning. They want the cleaning that they need at the price that they need, at the terms that they need, done the way that they need it, when they need it, with the tools that they need, everything else that they need it about them, not about your quote unquote the best in your opinion. They don't care. So first it's got to be unique, which obviously this sweat thing at the time was unique. Now that's going away to a degree, right? I don't know that you guys are in every city, so it's not going to be unique, but it's certainly going to be setting you apart. And second, it's got to be a value to the customer. It sounds like this was of tremendous value to the customer. They were responding really positively. So this is a perfect example of a unique selling proposition. And in multiple is fine, right? If you get to the point you're like, well, I don't have a unique, well, then fine. Have three or four things that very few other people have in terms of our guarantee is better. This is how we manage better. Pick as many unique like things as you can. So I just want to encourage you, this is the way to think. And I love that you guys didn't go out to create software. You went out to create a great cleaning company and you responded to what the market needed and kind of moved your focus to that.
Yeah, absolutely. The big thing is when you're in there, you're trying to build trust, right? Like, They've looked at your website, they've asked you in probably three or four other companies to do a quote. Everyone's saying the same thing and they're like, which one? And if they can't see a clear reason why to pick someone, they just go straight to price. And I refuse to go to the lowest bid in price. Now, I'll be totally honest. When I started at my cleaning company, before we had this, I did that and I always got burnt. Like, there's nothing worse than winning a contract and 2 months later looking at it, you know you're not making money. So we just had to get totally away from that.
And it's funny, a lot of times we as owners blame the customer. Oh, our customers are cheap. They always pick the lowest price. No, you did a terrible job of explaining to them why they should pay more. So if you've given them no, I'm always going to pick price. If you're like, which car do you want? Well, can I get any other information? No, they're both cars. Well, then I want the cheapest one. Like, I don't know. Can I get any more details? So it's your job to explain the value. And I think the software that you guys are talking about, and it's really not even the software. The software is a tool. It's the process of, I don't know that your customers were buying the software or the fact that you use software. They were buying the, wow, look at the fact that these people give two craps. And they don't just say, we invest and we care and we're planning and we're looking into this. There's proof positive. So in the olden days, it might've been, here's our flow chart of work and here's our operations manual. And I always talk to my people about being transparent about training and having that on a YouTube channel or your website where your customers can access. So they go, wow, these guys actually do training videos. This is a perfect example of, we've got this tool and we invest in this tool. It's not free. And we do it because we actually care about you guys. And we actually want you to get better service as opposed to the lip service that other people say it. And maybe they mean it, but where's their proof? This is a nice third-party proof that you can kind of provide.
Yeah, there's no magic bullet. I mean, we've had people sign up with our software and do absolutely nothing. Like, they're wowed by it. They can't believe how this is going to work, and they don't log in once. I mean, you can't help those people. Then you have other people who go in and they're closing contract after contract, and they're doing all these things. It's like, and you know, part of me is like, look at me, look what I've done. I've helped them. But it's really, I just create a tool for them. They're the entrepreneur. They're the business owner. They're the one that took charge. So I can take a bit of credit because it feels good to see someone growing, but it's so much about mindset.
Oh, and it's the same thing with the customers I've got, whether it's the accelerator, my one-on-one clients. I tell them at the beginning, you can absolutely waste my time and your money by going through all this stuff and going, wow, that's really smart. That's genius. And then doing nothing. Like, that's just absolutely a waste of everybody's time and money. I'd rather you get half the knowledge and all the implementation than all the knowledge and none of the implementation. So I love that you're getting, there are no tools. I have no tools. Doesn't sound like you guys have any secret tools where it's like, you know, they work by osmosis. It's like, rub this cream on you and you'll become a $1 million business owner. It all takes work. So I love that tool. Now I'm super clear about, okay. And honest question, I don't know the answer to this. At the Reframe concert, what am I talking about? I've got to stop drinking before this podcast.
Felt like a concert, right?
Yeah, it was a party. We had so much fun. I got to tell you, the one disappointment I have is this podcast is so global, right? Like, I didn't think anyone was going to show up from Clean Nation because I'm like, you know, we got tens of thousands of listeners, but how many are in, you know, San Antonio, Texas? Like, there might be six, but we had gosh, 2 to 10 at everyone. And I'm like, this must be 100% of our listeners in San Antonio or in Dallas or, you know, wherever up. So it was a total party, and everyone that was out there so enjoyed getting to meet you. But that's an aside. So at the Reframe conference, you guys gave kind of walk step by step. Here's exactly how to close business. And I mean, you guys gave a ton of value. Is there any of that if any of the listeners sign up for the software, is there any training that comes with it to say not only how to use it, but here's how to use it to close more business? Or is it just kind of like, here's your login and you know, get to work?
So here's something actually we launched, I believe it was last week. So since I last spoke to you a couple weeks ago, we launched something called the 21-day challenge. And basically it's three weeks of content. And
it would be weird if the 21-day challenge is only a week of content, just saying, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm glad it's 3 weeks. Whoever did that math, good for them.
Yeah, exactly. So you can go through and learn about bidding, it's like our playbook, how we would go in and generate leads, how we would bid a space, and how we would win that contract to the proposal. So it's really high level, but already we're having people who have written us and like, just close the contract. So it's sometimes just getting back to the basics, but again, it weaves in how to separate yourself and build that trust. So this is like step-by-step guide on how we did it. So
how do we,
if you go to,
yeah, don't be a tease. How do I get that? Sweatworks.com.
Yeah. So sweatworks.com, you'll see at the top, there's a banner for the 21-day challenge.
All right, cool. And again, this is being recorded July 2017. So I'm assuming that'll be there for some point, but if you're listening 2023, I'm going to bet that may be gone. So full disclosure, don't send me angry future email/tweets, folks. All right. So I'm getting how it benefits the business owner. I'm getting how these processes start closing business. And that's the stuff I love, because I'm always looking for ways. How can I help my clients do stuff different? The bidding package, the insurance, a guarantee, uniforms, picture ID, the way we present the bid, the way we set up the bid, the way we do our website, the way that we educate our customer. I'm always like, this podcast is kind of different, right? Most business coaches don't do this. I'm always looking for stuff. So I love that extra bullet in your gun or arrow, if we're nonviolent, arrow in your quiver. I guess that's still violent, but I don't know any nonviolent analogies, but you can send me angry emails. Why don't you use this? Stop being such a jerk. So perfect. How do we help that with I still don't understand how it's gonna make the employees stay longer, right? Because I'm getting, I'd say 70%, it's like 70-30 in terms of employees are almost harder to get than customers. So how do you get better employees? How do you keep them longer? How does this tool make their lives better, easier, faster?
Yeah, absolutely. So hiring cleaners, I think back to when we were running our cleaning company, we had some top cleaners, which I'm sure everyone who's listening knows if they can relate to this. They've had that person where if someone doesn't show up, you call Deborah, Joey, whoever it is, and they're like, yep, middle of the night, they'll go and she'll show up, they'll do the service because they're so focused on, you know, doing a good job. But of all the cleaners you have, you know, it's a small group. What I found most of the things out there in terms of working with cleaners was, you know, people would say you can't trust your cleaners, you know, they're going to steal from you, this, that, all these negative things. So what you do is, yes, there are some cleaners that fall in that group, but if you penalize all of your best cleaners, now they're not happy either. And so what we've done with Swept is really created this way of communicating to support the cleaners. So instead of just tracking them, you know, there's a message board that's in 100 different languages. So a cleaner who shows up knows what to do. I remember I had a really good cleaner named Harry, and I said, Harry, tonight when you're at work, I need you at a place called ISL. When you're at ISL, I need you to clean the front windows because there's fingerprints. And he said, yes, sir. And I was like, okay, so Harry, what are you going to do tonight? He just looked at me blankly. He's like, yes, sir. And I was like, oh, damn.
You don't speak English, do you, Harry?
No idea. He has no idea. You know, and it happens so often. Like, he's reliable. He's, you know, always there. Like, he's on time. All of these things that he does, but he doesn't speak English well. And so he tries. And so what we found was there's this big gap between people who really want to do a great job and needing the support. And then there's also people who are not that great that you need to figure out who they are and kind of weed them out. And communication really helps that, right? And so that's one of the ways that we've worked with our cleaners. The other thing I'll tell you a quick story is, we had a client who their cleaners, a big group of them work between 1 a.m. and 7 a.m. They were going out and cleaning a number of buildings in the middle of the night, which is quite common. So he was saying to me that when his cleaners leave at 7 a.m., his staff starts around 8 or 9. If something goes wrong or something's going on, they have a question, they would call the cleaner. The cleaner's now home in bed, right? Oh, so the cleaner stayed up all night cleaning. Now they have to get phone calls in the morning. And with Swept, the cleaners, when they check out, they just put a note like everything's good, or you know what, the vacuum is broken, or we need this supply, whatever it is. The cleaner goes home and goes to bed. The manager doesn't have to call them. So there's these benefits to the cleaners in terms of knowing what's going on. They can do a good job, and also sending out information so they don't get bothered outside of their shift.
Yeah, and just stupid stuff like I'm constantly preaching, let's have company meetings, let's have awards, let's have acknowledgement and yep. tell people how great they are. That's a cool way to public, and a lot of people, I don't have an office, I don't have this, I don't have that. Well, that's a great way to publicly share the love, right? That I'm assuming you can either private message a cleaner, or you can share something company wide or just to a certain team. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we've seen people screenshotting like and sending it over to us so we could like showing us like how they're using the product and saying like they highlight their cleaners, you know, every couple of weeks. Like, you know what? Thanks, Tony. You dropped this off and you were able to do this for us. You know, I talked to the client today. They're so happy. Thank you. Out to the whole company. That makes Tony, that cleaner, feel so good. And, you know, you can pay people and increase their pay and do these things, but it's been proven time and time again in every industry that after a certain amount of time, the money, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't help. It doesn't add that value and make them want to stay. After a while, it just gets expected they're going to keep getting raises. But that kind of public show of appreciation is huge.
Oh, I'll take it a step further. I'll take the appreciation over the pay even at the beginning. So I hear what you're saying is you keep giving pay. It's like, well, yeah, I get a raise every 3 months. So when you don't get a raise, I get pissed. But when they do get a raise, there's
yep.
you kind of that uptick you used to get's gone. Agreed. I disagree that the pay is ever more effective than acknowledgement. I think 100% of the time, and it's got to be sincere, right? You can't give lip service. But if you truly care about yep. another human being, and they feel loved and appreciated and known and understood, especially it's a little different. You get into these, you know, high dollar, you know, make a couple $100,000 a year, you're highly skilled. You get a lot of kudos. There's a lot of, you're the best and we love you. And how can yep. we make you blah, blah, blah. You know, I listened to Mark Cuban talk and he talked about really, they're not competing with customers, right? If you're in Dallas, if you own the Dallas Mavericks, you're not competing with the Phoenix Suns for customers, right? They're going to show mm-hmm. up or not, but you're competing for talent. And he was and again, this was back in the day because I'm old, when they didn't do all the stuff that's now common. When Mark Cuban bought the Mavericks, they would, the biggest argument in the locker room would be music. Who got to play what music? So he literally was the first to put headphones and private music things in everybody's lockers. And then guess what? He'd go to Dirk Nowitzki's house, he's this man child that's this huge human being and one of the best in the world at what he does, but he's still a 20 some year old kid and he's eating pizza and Coke, right? And he's like, this yeah. is terrible. I'm paying this finely tuned athlete millions of dollars to be amazing. And he goes home and eats pizza. So when he had some great stories. So he started putting fruit and vegetables, ordering it and catering the events. And he started doing it at the opponent's team, right? Because guess what? He had all the people he's competing for, the best in the world, would have to come to their place to play basketball. And he'd get bigger towels and he'd outfit the opponent's locker room. So guys would go, wow, our locker room's a crap hole. Look at this thing. Long story. It's amazing. And again, it's so stupid when you see these celebrity writers of, you know, I want no green M&Ms or this or that or the other. It's because I've gotten so much money. It's like, I can't even compete on that level anymore, right? If it's another $7 million or $6 million or $8 million, is that really going to affect my life at all? No. But being treated with respect, being understood, being shown that you understand me and care about me, that's how he was. And then I think they won the championship shortly after that. That's how you attract the best talent. So I couldn't agree more that understanding and acknowledgement of people is going to beat money all the time. Now you can't screw people. You have to pay them fair wages, but if fair wages are between 11 and 13 bucks an hour, I'll take 11 bucks an hour with tons of appreciation than $13 with no appreciation. So however you can do that, right? So again, another thing, like, is having this software going to magically make people stay? Nope, not at all. But if you already care about, know, love, and trust your employees and are building a community and want to show them the love and have everybody involved and know each other and be committed to something bigger than themselves, can this tool help you if you're already doing that? Oh my gosh, yeah. It's a huge tool, especially if you don't have an office. This could be the hub of what you do. Can you put up video, or is it just like video and pictures, or is it just text?
You can do pictures, yeah.
Okay.
Now, cool. Video is something we've been had requested a number of times and would like to look at. We take a lot of the feedback from our users, and that's where we develop product. But yeah.
Hey, Cleaning Nation. There was just too much good stuff to cram into one episode, so we split it into two. Check back this Thursday for the second half of our guest expert interview with Michael Brown. We'll see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.